It is 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Hamas freed another group of Israeli and Thai hostages held captive for the last 7 weeks of war in Gaza. In exchange, Israel released 30 Palestinian prisoners and detainees. NPR's Daniel Estrin has more from Tel Aviv.
Though there were clashes between the Israeli army and Hamas today, a truce between them has still held. It's been extended through Wednesday to allow for more hostage and prisoner exchanges. The latest group Hamas released includes 10 Israeli hostages, including a teenage girl and women whose spouses still remain in captivity in Gaza. 2 Thai guest workers were also released. They were among more than 200 captives taken back into Gaza when Hamas and its allies stormed Israel on October 7th. 9 American Israeli dual nationals are still believed to be among those held in Gaza. Senior U.S. and Israeli officials held meetings in Qatar to mediate more exchanges and to try to secure a longer truce. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter was remembered at a private memorial service in Atlanta today. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden joined all former First Ladies and former President Bill Clinton at the church service. Former President Jimmy Carter attended in a wheelchair. The 99-year-old traveled 140 miles from hospice care to be there. Some of their children spoke at the service, including daughter Amy.
My mom spent most of her life in love with my dad. Their partnership and love story was a defining feature of her life.
Rosalynn Carter died last week at the age of 96 and will be buried in Plains, Georgia tomorrow. Pope Francis canceled an upcoming trip to Dubai to attend global climate negotiations. NPR's Rebecca Hersher has more.
Pope Francis had been planning to travel to Dubai to address world leaders about climate change, but he fell ill with the flu and his doctors advised him not to travel, according to a statement from the Vatican. It's possible the Pope may still participate in the climate talks remotely, the Vatican says. The meeting lasts about 2 weeks. Pope Francis has been vocal about the need to address climate change by reducing the use of fossil fuels such as oil, gas, and coal. In the past, he has highlighted how climate change disproportionately hurts vulnerable populations, including poor people and children. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
The influential conservative network founded by the billionaire Koch brothers is endorsing former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley for president over former President Trump. That brings her substantial advertising and outreach support. Trump is still the leader in the race for the GOP nomination, but Americans for Prosperity Now Action says its own polling shows Haley performs best in a presidential race against Biden. You're listening to NPR News.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Since Wrangell's landslide occurred last Monday night, responders have worked tirelessly to ensure safety and transportation continue in the area. Drivers will soon be able to pass through the landslide debris field using a path cleared by road workers. This will allow supplies to reach residents on the south side of the island for the first time by road. Over the weekend, road crews significantly cleared a section of the landslide debris at mile 11 of the Zemovia Highway. As they continue to move mud and downed trees from the area, power will gradually be restored. After that, phone lines can be reestablished. The exact timeline is still up in the air. Shannon McCarthy is a spokesperson for the State Department of Transportation. She says although a lot of cleanup still needs to happen, most of the asphalt underneath the debris has been found in good shape.
We were pleased to see that the asphalt was still intact, which was just on that northern part of the road.
On Monday, only emergency vehicles were permitted to pass through, but that's expected to change today. McCarthy says that the road will be open for 30-minute intervals beginning Tuesday morning during daylight hours to ensure the public's safety.
There still does need to be a lot of cleanup and stabilization in the area. The slide does shift from time to time. So we are taking a look at that, and we're considering how we provide access to the public and still keep it safe. So we may end up just starting with some daytime hours, some openings for folks.
Those openings will be three times during the day, between 8 and 8:30 in the morning, noon and 12:30 in the afternoon, and 3:30 and 4 p.m. That will continue for a couple of days until additional clearing can be done. This is the third deadly landslide in 8 years to occur in southeast Alaska. The 2015 slide in Sitka killed 3 people. A 2020 landslide in Haines killed 2 people. All 3 communities experienced heavy precipitation leading up to the slides. Lisa Bush, head of the Sitka Sound Science Center, says as human-caused climate change progresses, these events are likely to become more frequent.
Climate change will mean more atmospheric rivers, and we will be experiencing more natural hazards. That is what the science says.
Southeast Alaska is no stranger to rain. Bush says what's new is the increase in heavy rainstorms that drop several inches of water in one 24-hour period.
You know, which is a lot of rain all at once. So that's what we're going to be experiencing in the future, is more of that. And that is going to be contributing to more flooding, more avalanches, more landslides.
Following their 2015 slide, residents in Sitka worked with scientists to develop a landslide warning system. The Sitka Sound Science Center is working with other southeast communities now, Yakutat, Klawak, Skagway, Hoonah, Kasan, and Craig, to develop their own warning systems. In Bristol Bay, students got a chance to practice their first aid and health triage skills as part of a week-long intensive training. The program culminated in a mass casualty incident drill. Volunteers put on makeup and gear mimicking serious injuries so students could find, assess, and rescue them. KDLG's Christina McDermott has this story.
About 10 volunteers are putting the finishing touches on their wound makeup. One person has a bullet hole in their arm, another is missing a finger. Behind them, a group of high school students in bright blue scrubs are getting ready for a mass casualty incident drill. That's an exercise that prepares medical personnel for a large-scale emergency. Angel Yeagy, a junior from Nundalton, is one of the scrubbed-up students. She says the class has spent the week developing their skills and learning how to save lives. Now, it's time to put those skills to use.
And we're going to be going around seeing and figuring out what's wrong with the patients, and we're going to assess them as best as we can, and we're going to try to save as much people as possible.
The week-long intensive class comes from a partnership between the Bristol Bay Regional Career Technical Education Program and the Southwest Region's Alaska Area Health Center. Ashlyn Luckhurst is a career development specialist for the Technical Education Program.
We had 8 students from across Bristol Bay fly into Dillingham. They've been here since last Sunday, and they've been going to class every day. They got their basic first aid and CPR certifications. And this drill is to help them practice those skills that they learned. They're going to be triaging and treating all of us.
As the Area Health Education Center Director Olivia Bridges calls the room to order, the volunteers prepare to hide around the Bristol Bay campus. The simulated incident, a vicious guerrilla attack.
It was the morning of November 11th, 2023. Dillingham, Alaska was a small town that had never experienced the kind of zoo-related chaos that was about to hit our...
Bridges says that mass casualty incidents and natural disaster emergencies are traumatic, but the practice allows the students to keep their skills up to date.
So doing these kinds of drills in kind of a fun way, I think, is really helpful and can be really empowering for the students because it's not real at the end of the day. So this one was all about a guerrilla attack that we created, and I had help from a student to create that kind of fun story to contextualize that natural disaster.
Beyond responding to a simulated guerrilla attack, Bridges says students got the chance to learn about careers in healthcare and received certifications in first aid and CPR.
And I have to say that all 8 students this week were just so excellent, and I really see them as being the future leaders in healthcare in their communities and in the region.
Noelle Bowe is another career development specialist with the Bristol Bay Regional Career and Technical Education Program.
I have a bullet wound in my arm, a gash, a stick in the forehead, and some other miscellaneous wounds, I guess.
She ran a course this week to help train students interested in education careers in the region. Bowe says these programs give students from around Bristol Bay an opportunity to connect and learn about different career paths.
A lot of our communities are pretty small and isolated, so coming here, they can make connections and build those relationships, and it's just really neat stuff. I love it.
About an hour later, the students had successfully located, rescued, and treated all of the volunteers, including helping carry some back to home base in the campus's lab and talking down traumatized victims. As the event ended and students started to clean up the sprawl of makeup and gauze, the energy remained high. All the students kept their scrubs on. Nun Dalton Jr. Angel Yeagie says she's excited for a future career in healthcare.
I have like so many possibilities and options in the health field, and I look forward to studying them all.
The Bristol Bay Regional Career Technical Education Program is putting on 2 additional intensive career training courses in the spring of next year. In Dillingham, I'm Christina McDermott.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Drag queens from across the state vied for the title of Miss Gay Alaska America recently in Juneau. Taking the prize was Lamia Insomnia Lexicon Doom Monroe, the drag persona of Anchorage-based Robin O'Donohue. Monroe spoke with KTOO's Adeline Baxter about the pageant and preparing to compete in the national Miss Gay America competition.
My name is Lamia Monroe. I am an Anchorage-based performer. I've been performing in Alaska for about 6 years, born and raised Alaskan. I'm an Alaska Native tribal member, originally from the interior up in Fairbanks, lived in Juneau, so I'm kind of an all-around Alaska person, bounced around.
What's your connection to Juneau drag and Juneau's drag mother, Gigi Monroe?
Had been doing drag and performing for several years prior to getting connected with Gigi. And we performed together. I performed in Gigi's shows for a few years before I was officially anointed the Monroe name and part of the drag family. But really, I really enjoy the community here in Juneau, have lots of friends and family here, so try to get down as much as possible.
Tell me about the Miss Gay Alaska America pageant. This was the first time it was held, right?
This pageant, the Miss Gay Alaska America pageant, is the first inaugural pageant, and it's part of this national Miss Gay America system. So it was the first time that the Miss Gay America system has been a thing in Alaska. There is a title, Miss Gay Alaska, which is through the Imperial Court of All Alaska, which is a community organization and nonprofit organization that has been in Alaska for a very long time, and I'm also the current title holder for the Imperial Court's Miss Gay Alaska.
And how did you win the statewide pageant?
My talent was a lip sync performance I created that has some audio mixed from a couple different Shirley Bassey songs, and then some spoken word audio of that I recorded myself of having a phone call with myself, playing both a male and female role. Kind of doing a sort of comedic over-the-phone breakup. The piece is very much like a little autobiographical of, you know, a relationship going poorly and then finding confidence again through stage, through performing. So all about, like, getting knocked down and getting back up again.
And so now that you've received the title of Miss Gay Alaska America, where does that take you?
I am currently preparing to go to nationals in January. In Little Rock, Arkansas, which is where Miss Gay America, that pageant system, was founded, and really excited to represent Alaska there. It's the first time that Alaska will be represented at that pageant. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe it is also the first time Alaska's had an official preliminary for any of the main national pageant systems. So it feels pretty surreal, like pretty big. And I just really want to do a good job of representing the LGBTQ community here, but also representing, you know, my home state with, to the best of my abilities.
What's your goal for the national competition?
Very much my goal is to just do well. You know, there's 22 states participating, 44 contestants. Just making it past the preliminary rounds would be a huge accomplishment. So I'm really just trying to put together a very solid package that I can be proud of.
What else do you want people to know about drag in Alaska?
So I think what some people may not know is that a huge part of drag, and especially in Alaska where we have a smaller community, is advocating for the LGBTQ community and raising money for various related causes. So a really big passion of mine is fundraising and raising awareness for Alaskans living with HIV. I serve on the board of the Alaskan AIDS Assistance Association. I have for about 2 years. And so that's part of my platform that I talk about. I've talked about both at the pageant, and I plan on talking about at nationals. It's just constantly reminding people that I think inherently in this political climate we're in, you can't really separate drag from advocacy.
That was KTOO's Adeline Baxter speaking with Miss Gay Alaska America, Lamia Monroe. The National Miss Gay America pageant starts January 16th in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Could interest rates decline soon? I'm Novosapo with a Marketplace Minute. Deutsche Bank economists are predicting that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates next year. Good news for borrowers, but the bank says the reason will be a mild recession in the first half of 2024. Other economists think we'll avert a recession. Two-thirds of consumers surveyed in November by the Conference Board are predicting a recession. Still, the think tank's Consumer Confidence Index improved after three straight months of declines. Apple says memoirs by Prince Harry and Britney Spears are the most downloaded nonfiction books this year on its platform. The first two books in the Empyrean series by American author Rebecca Yarros top the fiction list. I'm Novosapo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by Wealth Enhancement Group at wealthenhancement.com.
Kodiak College and partners are offering a free fire and EMS 5-month workforce training program this winter. A great opportunity to learn a new career. The evening classes will start in January, and students will be certified in this field by May 31st. All classes are free and offered locally. Upon completion of the program, students will be awarded multiple certifications that are recommended for entry-level employment as an emergency responder. Applications are due by December 1st. Find out more by emailing kifems@islandgradproject.org or apply online at islandgradproject.org. This program is a multi-agency community partnership coordinated by Island Grad Project and made possible by a grant from the State of Alaska Department of Health, Division of Public Health, and Rural Cap. Good morning. Can I help you?
Public Radio Patrol. May I come in?
Well, I suppose. Public Radio Patrol? What's that?
Well, we drive around in our electric cars in an unofficial capacity, just wearing sustainable hemp clothing, you know, just keeping an eye on things. I hear you're listening to Morning Edition today.
Yeah, I like to listen to it while I eat my breakfast. Kind of a routine. What's it to you?
Well, the funny thing is, I don't have you down here as a contributor to your local public radio station.
Oh. Well, you know, I haven't gotten around to that yet, but I probably will.
Oh, I see. Well, that's just fine. Let me ask you something. Is this your breakfast here?
Yeah.
Is this your bacon?
Yeah.
It certainly looks delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good. It's delicious.
Hey.
I like this. Crispy.
Hey, that's my bacon.
Oh, you don't like that, do you?
No, or, well, yes, I like it, but I don't like it when you eat it.
Well, here's $5. Here you go. Take it. Does that make you feel better?
Well, actually, it does.
That's all we're asking. You enjoy delicious public radio. You savor the crispy, in-depth coverage. Just kick them a few bucks every once in a while.
You make a convincing argument. I'll make a contribution to my public radio station, KMXT, and I'm going to call the police now. Just a fair warning.
It won't be the first time. I guess I'll be off now. Thank you for supporting your local public radio station.
You're welcome, I think.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 28th day of November, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 9:22. It will set again promptly at 4:32 this afternoon, giving us 7 hours and 10 minutes of precious daylight, a loss of 3 minutes and 10 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 54 degrees set in 1970, and our record low was 5 degrees set in chilly 2021. Currently a relatively warm 43 degrees, with mostly cloudy skies and windy conditions. In fact, they have southerly winds steady at 30 miles per hour at the airport right now, gusting to 43. And 10 miles of visibility still. The Weather Service is calling for rain today, mainly after noon, so starting up any time now. High near 42, south winds to 30, gusting to 45. Rain tomorrow too, with a low around 34, east winds to 25, gusting to 30. And they're talking about between 1/2 and 3/4 inches tonight. Rain showers tomorrow, actually, likely before 3 p.m., followed by rain and snow showers. Cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 39, northeast winds to 15, turning to the northwest to 25 tomorrow morning, and could come up to 30 tomorrow morning. For Wednesday night, look for scattered rain and snow showers, cloudy skies, gradually becoming partly cloudy, and just a chance of rain and snow on Thursday. Looking at our local tides, we have an incoming tide. Our next high tide here on the east side will be at 1:49 this afternoon and be 10.5 feet. That'll be followed by a low tide at 8:43 this evening of -1.3 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 2:22 p.m. and be 16.1 feet, followed by a low tide at 9:13 p.m. of -2.5 feet in Larsen Bay. Strangely enough, the next high tide in Larsen Bay will be at 3:33 a.m. Mariners, here's your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. Gale warning for today and tomorrow. South winds to 35 knots, becoming southeast 30 tonight. 12-foot seas for today and tonight. For tomorrow, north winds to 25, becoming northwest 35 in the afternoon. 9-foot seas building to 11 feet tomorrow night, when the winds are expected to turn to the west to 35. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for today. Southeast 40 should become south 15 later this afternoon. 9-foot seas coming down to 5 feet tonight. For tomorrow in the Shelikof, north winds to 20 knots, becoming northwest 30 in the afternoon, with 5-foot seas building to 8 feet tomorrow afternoon. Today is the latest episode of Scuttlebutt. It's a galley tables workshop for youth. It's happening at the Kodiak Public Library's craft room between 4 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. It's a free weekly storytelling workshop for students in grades 9 through 12. They practice building and sharing their stories with the help of experienced storytellers. For more information, call 907-486-7396. Coming up on Friday, Galley Tables, Kodiak's storytelling event. That will be happening at 7 p.m. in the Kodiak Marketplace on Friday. Seven storytellers have 7 minutes to tell their stories based on the theme Breaking the Ice. Doors open at 6:30 and the show starts with music by Drew Sablon at 7. Also on Friday, mark your calendars for a lecture by Lutic Museum archaeologist Patrick Saltonstall. He will present results from a recent archaeological survey in Santa Flavia Bay. The presentation is free and open to the public and will be happening at 5:30 p.m. at the Kodiak History Museum on Friday. Sounds interesting. Also on Friday, the Kiwanis tree sales will be starting back up. They are selling trees over the weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through December 10th or so. Fridays, they will be open 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturdays, they'll open at 10 a.m. and be open till 4 p.m. And on Sundays, they'll be open at 12 p.m. and be open to 4 p.m. They have a variety of trees, wreaths, mantelpieces, and cedar garland by the foot. That's at the usual place at 111 Bartell Avenue. The Angels of Love program is going on again this year. Place your loved one's name on an angel for display at the Holiday Hospital trees displayed in the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center from December 25th through January 13th. It's a way to honor the life of someone you miss and celebrate the life of someone you admire. $10 donations for each angel, and you can make your donation by simply showing up in person at hospital admitting or the specialty clinic reception desk. You can mail them care of Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary, 1915 East Rezanoff Drive, Kodiak, Alaska, or pay online at www.kodiakhospitalauxiliary.org. The Holiday Bells concert is coming up. It's happening Sunday, December 10th. So not this coming Sunday, but the next one. And they will be doing the Isle Bells will be doing their 13th annual concert featuring Hazel De Los Santos. It's happening at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium on the 10th, and you can purchase tickets at kodiakarts.org. Going all the way from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. What a show. Bethlehem, the experience, is happening indoors at the Kodiak Baptist Mission. That's happening December 8th through 10th. It's an indoor event in which you experience the sights, sounds, smells, and taste of the city of Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth this Christmas season. The entire family will want to attend with plenty for everyone to do and see. On December 8th and 9th, that will be 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and on December 10th, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Kodiak Baptist Mission. And the Harbor Lights Festival and Boat Parade is coming up. Join your friends and neighbors on Saturday, December 16th, to watch the Kodiak fleet decorated with holiday lights parade through the Near Island Channel. Boats will rendezvous at 6 p.m. north of the Near Island Bridge and proceed south through the channel to Pier 2 in the Outer Harbor. In the case of high winds and no parade, the public is still encouraged to walk the floats to see the decorated boats in both Townside St. Paul Harbor and St. Herman's Harbor on Near Island. For more information, contact the Kodiak Maritime Museum at 907-486-0384, or you can email them at info@kodiakmaritimemuseum.org. The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. On Wednesday, November 29th, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having its regular meeting in the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center conference room at 5:15 p.m. Meetings are open to the public, and the meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Please contact the Borough Clerk's office at 907-486-9310 with any questions.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-9310. 3181. Fax us at 486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.